So let's bring our next lesson into Dharana, which boils down to concentration. We've just been talking about taming the monkeys of the mind and some tools as to how we can go about doing that so that the mind doesn't go and go and go in a circular rate all the time, right? So in most yoga studios these days, after yoga practice, we don't really meditate per se. That's the seventh of the eight limb, that's dhyana. We more concentrate, which is dharana. And so this being the sixth limb, the idea of this one is that we find something to bring our awareness to, some concentration, whether it be the gong, essential oils, walking your practitioners through a body scan or guided meditation or music or instruments, or it could even be something, it doesn't have to be something that's quiet. It can be an activity. We went over EFT, it could be tapping. You could actually do tapping for Shavasana if you wanted to. You could do a kirtan where you pass out instruments. So that's something we do from time to time. We have various instruments here. We have like the triangle and everything here and the gong and the singing bowl. And just finding a way to bring the mind to a focus point and stay there for as long as possible. The biggest thing that I find folks do during dharana or even attempting meditation is they might say, I'm no good at it. I don't want to stay for it. I can't shut my mind off. And then maybe even perhaps they feel like a failure because there you are, you're lying down in Shavasana. It seems as though everybody else is having an easy time. I'm here to tell you, most of the people in the room are not having an easy time with this. Most people are struggling with it a little bit. So if you could just let go of the reins and just allow yourself to be in presence, whatever that experience might be, then that's a lovely state to be in for that, you know, 10 to 12. If it's mind class, it's probably 15 to 18 minutes longer. Have longer ones. I like the naps. But, you know, depending on what you like, longer, shorter. So the big thing I recommend to folks prior to bringing them to Shavasana is at the onset of thought that they weren't prepared for, right? Like all of a sudden, like everything's great, you're listening to music, the essential oils are in the room, the ambiance is set, the temperature's just right. And that's why those things are so incredibly key, because it gives your practitioner something to hold on to during this time. But from there, can we, when those thoughts arrive, all right, here's this thought, here it is. Right? Maybe even bring a little humor into it. Oh, here I am thinking about the root beer again, covering my gar, right? Thinking about it, and then just let it go. And that's what I like, you know, if we go back to our EFT lesson, that's what I like about the process that goes from the different stages of emotions, of feeling, to walking yourself into having another way of thinking about it, right? Because I think what some folks might want to do is just deny it. Like, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. There's nothing wrong. It's fine. And these folks tend to be a little more white-knuckled, right? Because we carry this in and we squish it down. And then sooner or later, at some point, when some unsuspecting innocent victim is in your frame, is the recipient of that. And in most cases, that's the one closest to us that we love the most, right? Those are the ones that get it usually. So if we then can just observe things with a little bit of humor, not take ourselves so seriously all the time, and then just let that thought go, we're practicing those ideas during Shavasana. And if we're teaching our practitioners to do this just for this little period of time, each time they come to class, then hopefully the idea, and certainly my idea, is when they go out there into the world and they do whatever it is they're doing, that they find that as well, right? So maybe they're on the train and there's an upset, and instead of festering and stewing on the train for that 55-minute ride into the city, right? Because festering and stewing doesn't really hurt anybody else, just ourselves, right? And so if we then can just tame that, and say, all right, well, here it is. Don't like it. I'd prefer it be another way, and be honest with ourselves and express that, you know, all of that, all fine, still fine. But then realizing, going back to some of the other lessons that we've talked about with surrender, But the truth is, this is what it is right now, and allowing it to be and letting it go. And if you can master that cycle and practice that cycle, you might find yourself arriving at surrender much more quickly, right? Because some folks will hold on to things for days, weeks, months, years, decades, whatever, however long. Whereas I find that I really seek bliss. I seek joy. I'm not really looking for that to be interrupted. So if something should happen in my day, and something does happen in my day every day, I don't want it to disturb this setting that I'm in. I want to stay here. So I might observe it or take some sort of action, tapas, heat. I might do some work to fix it, if you will, throw some quotes around that, or, you know, pay attention to it, do whatever needs to be done. But then after that, let it go. Just let it go. Clearly, this is what this thing wants to be, right? And I would say that that would be the most, personally for me, the most freeing statement. I don't know. Seems like this is what it wants to be. Gonna go ahead and let it be that way. I'm gonna go over here and do this. And I'm finding that the use of my time is so much more productive than that mind race of, well, maybe I could do this or that or fill in the blank, whatever it is, and so on. So the tools that we teach our practitioners in class can really be life lessons, and they can be altering in that way. And, you know, when given in little doses, and certainly we're not doctors, so we can't try and replace any medications, as Nigo mentioned on the video. That's important to say. So let's say that, pardon me, if in your class you've decided you want to lead a tapping session for Shavasana rather than, you know, something like lie down, face up, here's your oils, right? You've decided you want to do this tapping thing instead. It's really important that we offer out these little disclaimers, because oftentimes the trust between the student and the teacher is really high, and that bond really grows, especially over time. And that's lovely. Those are all great things. And it's even possible, perhaps even probable, that what you have to offer is as good as what, say, an MD might have, but the responsibility for medical care lands on your practitioner's medical team and the medical team alone. So you got to make a little disclaimer, even though it's not that fun to have to do that, right? So, you know, in Nico's example, and one of the reasons why I like to play her videos from time to time, you know, just, hey guys, be sure to take responsibility for your own health and well-being. This isn't meant to replace anything, but this is what we're going to do today. I hope that you can take something away from it. And if you feel a little silly today, then fantastic. We tapped into our six-year-old today, right? And then that's okay too, whatever that might be. So trying to find different ways that you can move through Shavasana for your practitioners and concentrating on the different themes that you bring forward can be a really powerful time. Because if we've just finished a physical practice, then all the angst and the energy and the movement and the body, that's all been worked out. And that's the idea. You know, I mean, it's definitely, they're ordered, the eight limbs of yoga are ordered in this way for a reason. So we got the asana done. We did some pranayama, we did some pratyahara, we get as far as dharana. All right, let's get some concentration going, right? And it's a process. And so if you can guide your practitioners through this process in 60 minutes or 75 minutes, and you can do that for them once a week or three times a week or however long they're dedicated to coming, then they might see more results, you know, in their life when they're not in the studio setting as much. So this can be a really strong draw for your practitioners when they're like, I don't know, maybe I'll just blow off yoga. I don't really want to go. Like in the end, this is why they come so frequently. They come for this piece of it. So if you can understand it outside of, okay, we're gonna, you know, lie down and do naps and cookies and cots and graham crackers and chocolate milk, which I'm a huge fan of all of these things. Well, chocolate almond milk anyway, right? All of these things. I love these things. But how else can you integrate? So seasoned yoga teachers seem to spend quite a bit of time and attention on this element of their class. And so I would suggest that rather than wait for the years to flip by and spending all your time on sequencing and asana, maybe try and put maybe about 33% of your class planning design on this idea. If you could initiate, okay, so I teach next Friday and I want to come up with a theme, and I think I'm going to lead the course. I'm going to lead the practitioners through a tapping session. I'm going to tell them not certified or anything. We're just going to do this together. If you have like your idea that you want to thread in, you might mention those verbs, those words that are similar to this while you're guiding them through the physical practice. So it's tied together, it's layered, right? Like a lasagna, like a good lasagna with that. I got a nice big thick deep pan. There's 7 layers of noodles in this thing. All the goodies are all there, but they all build onto each other. Trying to put your class this way together. Then when you're done with it, then come back and name your class. And then write up a description as to what your class looks like. And if you can do that, I think then rather than, you know, selling a yoga class, we're offering an experience for your practitioners, and hopefully one that can last many, many years.